Good morning.
Wow, that was too loud.
So is everyone afraid of coming in the front rows? Everyone on the back? I trust me, I don't bite. So my name is Alessandro. I'm Redfine National Manager and a Microsoft MVP for Hyper-V. So today our session is all about remote app. So I'll do some demos. I'll try to be as more interactive as I can. So the first, let me start with, is there someone here in the audience that is that does have an iPad or iPhone that wants to join the demo? Anyone? Yeah, cool. So can you just sit here together with Mahesh? He'll help you with that. I need just to start the setup because I need you to download the remote app application. Anyone else? Cool. If you want to come here, that'll be great. I think that's gonna be great show how it works. Someone else as well, not just myself doing the demo. I think it'll be interactive. So I'm an author as well. I have published some books. I'm gonna give away two books today. But in order for you to enter in a draw, we actually need to tweet about this session. So if you tweet about this session, at the end of the session, I'm going to go find out who was the tweeter and select the names, go to a draw. The book will be, I'm going to give the book to Regan, and he is going to give away on the Microsoft booth at the hub. Good? So let's start. So, what we see as today challenges for remote desktop? I have been talking with some of the guys here in New Zealand, and I found really interesting. Every time you go to a different country, I live in Australia. I'm originally from Brazil. You see different situations for remote desktop applications. I see remote desktop useful when you have SMB. Or when you have lots of different devices and you need the same experience for the end user and the application is not web. I have been talking with one of my colleagues, he also MVP for ALM, and he was talking to me because he's a developer, and he said, look, there is a huge advantage of using remote app for software developers. Because some of the applications that we have today is not all web. And if you have an application that is still based on Windows and it's going to take you a while to convert that application to web or to be based on web services or something like this, if it's still a desktop application, how can I ensure that my customer that's moving to cloud, that they'll be able to still have access to my application and still that I'm still be on the market? Right, because some customers are really moving away to cloud. How can I keep those customers utilizing my desktop application? So that's a remote app will really help on this kind of scenario. There's a lot of seats here. I don't bite. Please come sit in the front. So that's one of the scenarios that I wasn't paying attention when we were talking about remote app. I said, yeah, I didn't thought about that, but yeah, that's definitely, we have a lot of application developers that will make sense that they just help port that to remote app as a remote desktop, right? Remote app is really moving the remote desktop, that the RDS server, to the cloud, to Azure. So today, it's in preview. We have 20 users, so you're able to do in preview 20 users. So of course, this is because in preview, there is no license model as yet, as far as I know, but it'll be published soon. So as I said, is moving your infrastructure to the cloud. So that's everything is moving to the cloud, and it's moving your RDS server to the cloud. How can I, the best way to do this, and the way I did, for one of my demos. I actually create a virtual machine, and I publish one application. Then I install the RGS, the raw remote desktop on that server, remove some of the other things that didn't happen, and then I just upload that to Azure. That's it. So if you have an application, you just do this. You just upload the VHD to the Azure, and then you have it exposed to your users. So I'm going to show how that's going to work. So what it gives us is remote applications. What else? Access to Windows. So as you're going to see here today, I have one Samsung tablet here. So those two guys have iPad or iPhone. So from different device, I'll be able to access Word, Excel, PowerPoint. You'll say, but there is already Word in iPad. That's true. But this is just a demo. You can have your applications on that one. And some desktop applications that you will ever think they'll be running on an iPhone or you ever think of running on an iOS or Samsung Android. Right? So that's the kind of environment that we need to start thinking about. So unfortunately, it's not yet running on Windows Phone. So the remote app does, I know, I knew. So it's coming, but the remote app is not yet on Windows Phone, which is crazy. So we have a remote, just to make sure one thing, there is a remote desktop on Windows Phone, but it's not the remote app, okay? So the remote app, what Microsoft did, actually I really like what Microsoft did with the remote app, because the remote app, you think, okay, remote app, I can only connect to Azure. That's not true. Actually, by using the same application, you can connect to Azure, or you can connect to your remote servers. So that's really cool. I really like having just one application instead of having one for remote desktop, one for remote app. So it's only one application. If you install, you're going to see, I install that on my tablet. I can connect to a server or I can connect to Microsoft Azure. It's really cool. Oh, sorry. One thing. It's scalability. I think that's one of the important. I had a conversation before with Microsoft Local about this, and they were mentioned, hey, when we have the remote desktop, you actually need to deploy a lot of servers. If I move this whole infrastructure to Azure, I actually don't need to care about this anymore. I actually don't need to even care about licenses or anything, because is everything already on Azure? Right? It's everything supported, for example, under my EA, or if I am an SMB, it's be supported by my subscription to Azure. I don't need to be worried of the number of cows. I don't need to be worried of the number of servers that I need to put in place to actually support the number of users that I have. So, again, why remote app? It's scalability, right? You have all your servers up in the cloud, and what you need to do is you need to build the application server and just upload it to Azure. One of the things that on preview, I don't know if that will be the same for when Microsoft actually released the product. Today, when you sign in for the preview, you have the whole Office feature there. So you have Word, Excel, PowerPoint, Project, and so on. And the good thing about this is actually that image is up to date, and Microsoft update that. So if, let's say every time Microsoft releases a new version, a new update for Office, that image gets an update. On the other side, if you do your own image, which is going to happen, right? You need to publish your applications. Every time you actually publish your application, you're actually in charge of updating that. So there's some conversations on going on and see how can we actually, Microsoft, allow you to update that. But today, the way I'm doing is I actually update my machine and then send back to Azure. Protection. Because it's running on Azure, one of the good things is you actually can use the Azure Active Directory. So you're going to see here today, for example, that I have one user that I created called TechEd, and that user is part of my Active Directory. So I'm going to give someone access to, actually, I have no idea where the password is, so I'll find out. With that that user. But I'm going to have someone here, another person, using their own user email to connect to my remote desktop. So I can actually give not only to my internal users, but also to external partners or external users that I need them to access my application, access to that remote application. It's really interesting idea. So I'm opening now not only for my internal staff, but if I have an application that I need partners to have access to, they can use their own email. I can connect the domain controller for the company. I can do a lot of different things because it's all based on Azure Active Directory Premium. So two deployment choices. One is remote app cloud deployment. The other one is the hybrid one. So as I said, the cloud deployment comes with Office Pro Plus. The other one is apps, OS, and settings fully customized. That's the option that I was talking about that you are going to be in charge of. So you still need in charge of publishing your own applications, local ones, or any application that's based on desktop. And make sure that you create that image and you upload that image. I think that's the better way to do. One friend of mine, he actually did everything on Azure. He even didn't have anything on-prem to do the server. He actually created one virtual machine on Azure, and then he had the storage. He did everything. He just uploaded the application. He installed the application on that, and he converted that and moved that to a remote app. It told me that took him like 4 hours. Mine took more time because I had to upload the virtual hard disk, and I was doing this by using ADSL. So, as you can see here, it's all based on Windows 2012, right? So the OS that when you create your image, you need to create based on Windows 2012. Can I ask here who is actually running Windows 2003? There's still a lot of people here running Windows 2003. So you're running Windows 2003 because of the legacy applications or because you are like waiting for the opportunity to come or there is a roadmap for you to upgrade? What is the situation? Anyone else wants to share? That is bad. See, when I think about upgrading from Windows 2003, let me go down here, to Windows 2012, need to think about that upgrade, I see two things happening. One, I not only need to think about my applications or support that I need support for my software vendor or somewhere that I'm moving to a latest one, and if my software is not actually support on the newer one, I have an issue. So that's one thing that comes to my mind. Another one is, hey, I actually need to spend money buying hardware because if I'm running Windows 2003, it means my server is like 4, 5, 6 years old, and I need to think of buying hardware as well. That is another reason for you to think about maybe moving to a cloud. Hey, I actually need to move now, I'm in 2003. What you need to be very careful is to make sure that your software is supported on Windows 2012 because Windows 2003 is not supported on remote app. So you just can't, hey, let's do a virtual hard disk on that machine running 2003, send that to Azure and that's going to be fun. No, trust me, it's not going to run. So, but there's something for you to keep in mind that maybe instead of moving to an on-prem solution, having to invest on hardware, probably updating your storage, disk, network, and everything, maybe it'll be a time for you to actually move directly to Azure. So it's something that I would definitely encourage you to consider. Even in some cases on SMBs, what I'm seeing is some companies for SMB is actually even getting rid of the domain local domain controller. So Redify, if I'm not wrong, we have 180 employees, something like this. So we have no servers on-prem. We are 100% cloud company. And when I go talk with customers, I say, look, I came here to talk to you about cloud, not because I'm trying to just, because I really, I truly believe we are running 100% of cloud. We have no domain controllers on-prem. We have no file servers. We have nothing. Everything we have is on cloud. We are a company of 180 people. It's not that small. It's not that big. But we choose to have all of our documents and everything on SharePoint. We choose to have our domain controller based on Azure Premium. And so on. So it's much easier to control. One of the things that I really like is the possibility to integrate with partners or to give access to external users. And it's not only from what we are going to show here about the Azure. It's actually any application that I have, I can actually give access to my users based on that. So it's really powerful. So let's do the demo. So one of the things I need is, I don't know if Mahesh already. Okay, so what we need for this, we need the remote app. Let me open here. So number Sorry, I need someone help with the password here. Sorry. I'll do from this one until I get. Thank you. Sorry, guys. So what I have on this tablet here, can you see there is an icon here? This is the icon for the remote app. You need to go to the Google Play, which is the Google store, and download that. Anyone can download this, okay? So what I do is I just click on this one. Difficult to read, right? So what's going to ask here? It's going to ask you for your email. So that email can be, I would say, in general, any email. When I say in general, because if you have your end user, your internal user, it means it's going to be your name, your username at your domain, right? Let's say alessandro.cardoso@redfi, that is my internal one. I can log on with that one. So it means if I am actually connected, cool, if I have permission. Another way could be what we're doing here. I created one user, but not based on my domain, based on a secondary domain that I created on Azure. And then the third user that we're actually going to use an external email from someone. Sorry, what's her name? From Matthew. So we're going to use Matthew email address. So we're going to add Matthew to our remote desktop connection. He will be able to use his external user. So I'm telling that I'm going to trust him, so he'll be able to connect and play with my remote desktop session. So you can do this as well with your end users. So let me just type here. I'll show how I do this. I'm just gonna authentication. Well, the password is not correct. Back here until I fix the password on this one. Yeah, that's my computer. Why my computer is not showing this? Yeah, it's connected now. Thank you. Cool. So, for everyone that wants to download the remote app, you just need to go to remoteapp.windowsazure.com. So that's the actually when you want your end users to connect, you just need to send this link to them. They'll get to this screen. On top, they'll be just able to install the client, right? Click, install the client, easy done. So that will be the client. So let me go back and start first with this session and see. So this is actually the Microsoft Azure portal, right? Everyone, for the past 3 days, has been playing with that. Everyone is showing you. So how can I actually play with that? So the remote app is another services. If you open the Azure portal for the first time, you're not going to see this. Actually, yesterday I was talking with Nathan and one of the Microsoft locks, and he doesn't have the, he said, Alessandro, I don't have the remote app. I said, actually, because it's in preview, you actually need to sign for that before you actually can add this to your Azure subscription. So when I click here, what I see is my dashboard, user access, publishing, and sessions. This is the desktop URL client. This is what you're going to send to your users, right? So send this to the user will download this. What else? So here, on my dashboard, it's saying, hey, you have no current sessions. This is the status. This is what when it was last modified. Let's go to my user access. So my user access, I will probably have three. One that I created called TechEd, and then because of the name of my subscription, it's really big. It's really crazy. Alessandro Cardoso Live on Microsoft.com. Can you? Okay. Then Mahesh, who is a colleague of mine, so and three other accounts. And it's totally different domains. It's nothing to do with my domain. I can create the users as much as I can. I can come here. Where is my domain? I can come here on my domain controller and say, hey, I want to add another person. You can add someone here. So it could be a new user in your organization, could be someone with a Microsoft account, or someone with another Windows Azure. You want to add him here? You can come here and you can add his account because it will be difficult for me to find the name. So this is how we are going to add the users, right? So one thing you need to keep in mind is I'm doing this here because I'm playing with Windows Azure Active Directory. But let's say if you want to play with your local domain, you still can, okay? You just need to sync your local domain with Windows Azure. It means all the users we're going to show here don't need to add users. I'm doing this because this is my MSDN subscription where you can actually, everyone can play with the managed subscription. So you're going to create this crazy domain, and you can add your users. So until he plays with that, I'm going to go back here. The only thing which drives me crazy on this Android is that when actually you type the password, it shows the password. You never see something like this. Okay, let me type the password here. Okay. Can I put this on here? Oh, good. So you just add Matt. Okay. So he add Matt as with his email. So what's going to happen is he's going to receive one email from Azure saying, hey, you have been added. So what I need to do now, because I just add him, it doesn't mean he has access to my Azure remote desktop. I actually need to go here. Oh, sorry, I need to remember the password, the email. So what I need to do is I need to copy this. I need to go to my remote app. And now I need to add his name here. So now he's going to have access to my sessions. So one thing. So as you can see now, he will have access to my, he's going to receive one email saying, hey, you have been added. Another thing that's going to happen, because this is my internal domain, as soon as he connects, he's going to say, hey, do you want to trust alessandrocardoso@live.com.au because that's my subscription? And you need to say yes, then you have access to that. So to show, come on. So I'm connecting now. Sorry, guys, I need to do this because that's going to show my password. And I don't understand why this shows the password. It's a nonsense. So, come on. So what's gonna do? Oh. Can't be kidding me. I'm gonna tap the password here, please. Don't look, okay? It's serious, can you see? It's good that the screen is bluer. That's bad. Oh, that's even worse. Okay, so what I can't see here is it's going to show all my applications. This one that I connected is actually connected to my company one. So I have two subscriptions. Why I connected to the company one? Because on the company one, I had actually two images. One is the Microsoft one, which is the default one with Office. But I actually, a friend of mine, Mitch, he published one for me, which is the Paint. Huh? Oh, yeah. You want to, I don't know how to show, but if you want to come here and show to everyone on the camera. Oh, you're good. Yeah, you're actually good in design and Paint. He's actually really good on Paint, yes. So he's using Paint. Oh, you're really cool. I'd say, why are you in IT? You should be a designer. Oh, thank you. Ah, no, you please. So what I'm going to do here, I can open. I'm not good at him, so even here. So can you see that it's taking a while to open? I did this in purpose because I saw another demo the other day and it was like, it opened straight away. So, whoa, that was quick. Yeah, it's going to be quick after the first time. But the first time, it really takes a little bit of time. Okay. Just another thing to remember is that I'm using my one is connected to East Asia. So when it comes to Sydney, it's going to be a little bit better. So I'm not like him, but yeah. So the experience on Paint, why we choose Paint, it's because the experience on Paint is really that has that lag. But when you actually have applications like Word or your own application, when you need to enter forms, the experience is much better. So it's not that bad. So that's why I choose. So another thing you can see here, it's not that. Come on. I'm not a user for tablets. File. Yeah. So, can you see when I click on save? I know you can't see, but it showed this PC, my documents, and I'm running Android. For the end user, although he's using iPads or any device that is not Microsoft, for them, the difference is nothing. You will be actually saving on my documents. There are lots of things where you can play here on when you click save. You can, if you run your own PC, you can save on your local documents, right? My pictures or documents, whatever. You can save to OneDrive. And you can save to two different OneDrive. You can save to your personal OneDrive if you are using your Live account or Microsoft account. You can save to your business drive, which is much better. Or you can save to your company file server or whatever. So if you are connected, you can do this, right? Let's do this. Let's go back a little bit to the. Yeah, but iPhone and Excel, it's easy because it actually has that. Yeah, so, yeah, there it's two. Yeah, then you have Excel, of course, because of the size of the screen, but if you have in your iPad, it's easy. I think one of the great things about using this, like yesterday, I was doing some updates on my computer last night, and I had to work on a document. So I went to this Android tablet. I said, "Oh, that is no Word." So I actually went to the remote app, and I opened the business drive, my company business drive, and opened the document. I changed on the document, and I saved, sent to the customer. Easy. So even though I didn't have Office because Android doesn't have Office, I still have Office because of my remote app. Thank you. So let's go back here. How much time I have? I still have a lot of time. Cool. So how can we do the deployment? As I said, so Mike, when you actually subscribe to the remote app, you're gonna have already all the this Microsoft 2013 published apps. So it's already licensed based on your Azure subscription. One of the things that I need to mention here is when you actually upload another server or another image with your application, that is gonna show to the customer, to your end user. So if you have, for example, 10 images, 10 different images, if you want, you can, right? 10 different images, and you upload all those images, every single one of them with a different application. And if you want to give the end user access to all of those, you just need to give users access to all those images. If you want to give access only to one image, so they'll combine. For the end user, when he opens the remote app, the experience that he's gonna see is all the applications in one screen. That screen that I was showing. So this screen here is actually going to show all the applications the end user has access to. And then RGP connection, right? So as I said, authentication can be Microsoft account or Azure Active Directory. And if you have your sync, you have on-prem. So who deployed already Office 365 here? So if you have Office 365, it means you have already this here in place, right? You have the your sync replication. You have your Active Directory already replicated to Microsoft Active Directory. You can use those users already. You just go to your Azure remote app and say, that user will have access. That user will have access. That's what you need to do. The same thing I did for Matt, you need to do for the users that you want to. Okay? So that is another solution, which is the federated identity. Has anyone here played with Theme? Cool. So Theme is actually another solution where you can have your company, Active Directory, and you have partners, you have someone else, domain controllers, and you want to trust them to access applications that you have. In general, let's just resume, will be something like this. You can have, for example, an external partner domain that you want to give access to your applications. Hybrid networking. So that is actually another thing that I don't see this for SMB, but I see this for enterprise customers. So when you have a lot of users, one of the things that you can probably take advantage is the Express Route. You can have the Express Route to give you a direct connection to Windows Azure, so you have no problem with bandwidth. So another one would be, for example, site-to-site VPN from your site to Azure. So why I need this? Probably you still have on-site servers, a file server, for example, and you want the user that, although he'll be using remote app, he needs to save or access document that is on-prem. The only way to do this, you need to have a site-to-site VPN. Right? That's between Azure and your service, only one. So it's nothing to do with the end user. And if you want on-prem management, you can have your Windows Active Directory local one, which is going to replicate Windows Azure. So steps to create, as I already told, you need to create a remote app template image. So it's Windows 2012 or 2 from image. Just install the remote services, remote desktop services, create the remote link to the VTOL network, link the template image, so install the application that you need. And if you need to have a directory sync, if you have Office 365, their sync is already in place. If not, you need to install their sync. I don't recommend their sync to be installed in the domain controller. I saw that someone played already with that. Please don't. Their sync needs to be installed on a separated machine. And then you need to publish your remote app programs and configure the user access. So patches and updates. If you choose the Microsoft one, which is the Office, Microsoft will take care of the updates. I already mentioned this. But if you choose your own, you'll be in charge of the updates. So again, the template properties, I'm just showing here. So this is the location, that's the name, the and where you want to publish it. And just go here, then I can better. So that is another thing that some people are confused when I show these files. So on Windows Azure, we have a files as well, right? Let me show here, because some people got confused when say, oh, I actually can do this. I don't have on this subscription. I don't have on this subscription. No? So that is a file service as well. Microsoft released this as a service. That one is used for SMB share. It's not actually for this. So this one, as I said, if you need to save the files locally, you can save that. You need to have the sync in place, right? Easy, that is. And that one I did already. What I want to show, there is a demo that I want to show here, is when I open document on a Word, I say, for example, on my computer, I'm working, and I have this document that I'm working on. And then for some reason, I need to leave, and I have a desktop computer, for example, a shared desktop computer, and I need to leave, but I still carrying with me the tablet or anything that has access to internet. So because I'm the same user, when I can see that it's still opening. Did I close? No. That's because the first time. So I started the doc in here. So if I move to another device, if I log on the other device with the same account, that document will open with exactly where I stopped it. So that is actually a really cool feature. So you still have the ability to start in one. When you log on another one, this one is going to be logged off. You actually don't even need to think, oh, okay, I leave that open. That's fine. When I log on here on another device, go on. So that one is going to be logged off. I can open this one. Not remember the, don't recall the username that I log on here. Let's see. I'll do better. Let me log on with the same user and log on the other one. If I log on, See, that's intelligent. It doesn't show my password. Unbelievable. So now it's going to show the same application that we published. See the paint one? So I was working on a paint there. If I remember, I type tech, right? Let's see. I think I didn't save. Oh. Doesn't matter. I can open here as well. Later. So if I do come here now and I say tech, see on a computer, so it's long. And zap. So I open this one. If I come back now to this one and I click OK. Now I want to go this one. I'm using the same user. Be connecting and it'll be disconnecting the other one. So let me show here. So I got disconnected. And on this one, it's the same. So I'll still have the same session. It's one session per user, yes. Just one thing to remember is that we're still on preview, right? So new features are being added. Like, for example, we only able to do 20 users now. Probably that's going to change. But probably not. That's going to change. Right? So some of the things that I think it's really good, for example, is global presence, high fidelity. How many of you here has offices not only in New Zealand, but as well, for example, in other countries? So say that if you want to give the end user the experience of having access to the application, and if able to publish that application in their own country instead of having them to access through the internet here, so that's another thing that you need to think as well, because I can actually publish my remote desktop to the specific region they are. So some of our features, so it's using RGP, the same, sorry? See, this session is being recorded, so that is actually good that you did ask me. So sorry, I have no idea. But one thing we need to keep in mind is with those two data centers being opening, in one in Sydney, another one in Melbourne, the speed that you're going to have is going to be really good. Yeah, I agree. But it's going to be a really good connection. I'll tell you that it's this year. There, we have already, I think, two customers of us. We are doing some already preview tests with them. So they are running on some test workloads. So not only us, but some other providers are actually doing the same. So it means that real soon. So it's running, it can run on Windows 7, Windows 8. So my machine was running Windows 8, iOS, Android. So as it is coming to Windows Phone, Windows RT. Although it's still Windows RT is coming, someone told me last week that already is running on Windows RT. Yeah. So this is not, that information is not correct. So Windows RT is already supported. So yeah, so storage per user, you have 50 giga as a personal one, so which is a huge store. So if you have 50 giga to store as a personal one, that is huge. Then you have initial one is 20 users per account. You can publish this on US, Europe, Asia, and soon here in APAC for Australia. And that's it. So we finish early. Yeah? That's the first time I finished the session early. Yeah? So until you're connected, yes. So that is actually, that feature is not yet ready on preview. I understand what you're talking about. You want to have a session time limit as you have on the RGS server. Yeah, no, not yet. There are some features that, one of the things, please, feel the feedback. One of the things that I do encourage that everyone that is actually looking to the remote app is to sign into the preview and actually participate in giving feedbacks and asking for features, because that will help the program team to say, hey, the customers are looking for a specific feature. Instead of us thinking on this one here, we actually need to think on what they are looking for. So it's really important. That's why they are in preview. It's because we need you guys to come and say, hey, we need this feature. For example, we need to control how much time the user is connected up. Any other feature that you guys thinking? It's really good if you can go participate on the preview, fill the forms. They are really looking for this. And if you anything that you're looking for, that's my blog and my Twitter. I will leave some of my cards somewhere here. And if you want to come and grab my card and contact me later, feel free. My hash is here as well. He's a Microsoft MVP for Azure. Feel free to bug him, or he'll be happy. Good. Thank you very much for coming. I really do appreciate that.